morning's reading is taken from Psalm 51, verses 6 to 17. Probably something you've heard before. I really like this one. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give you a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Amen.
Thank you, Sean. Will you pray with me? Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for ways that you are growing us and things that we're learning. Lord, thank you for these testimonies of praise and ways that you have answered prayers and ways that we are learning to listen and be obedient to you. Would you help us continue to grow in this process of wholeness, that we would experience you in new and powerful ways and live our lives the way that you would establish for us. So now, Lord, as we look into this text and explore the area of emotions, would you open our hearts that we would be receptive for the word that we each need to hear for us today. So, Lord, take these words and may they go forth with your good name. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of years ago, I had to replace my car. My old one was not only very worn out with over 300,000 kilometers, but the head gasket was cracked. I told you I like driving, right? No, I got the car secondhand, so that didn't help. Before I knew that the issue was that this head gasket had cracked, the car kept overheating. And one day, I was driving over the Burrard Street Bridge, and I looked down, and I noticed that the gauge was getting right up into the red. Well, as you can imagine, panic set in. You know, here I am on a bridge. There is nowhere that you can pull off. It was rush hour, and here in Vancouver, people get very cranky if someone breaks down on a bridge. I've gotten cranky myself, too. Well, on top of this, there was an appointment that I needed to get to. And I remembered hearing that if you turn the heat up full blast, well, then that will help cool your car engine. Now, I don't know why that works. I really don't want to know why, but it does. So even though it was an extremely hot day, I turned up the heat full blast, and then the gauge slowly started to come down. I heaved a sigh of relief. I managed to make it to my appointment, and there the car was able to sit and cool off. The gauges and lights on the dashboard of a car are there to alert us to problems. So God has given us our emotions to serve us as indicators, alerting us to areas in our life that we need to pay attention. They're signals that provide us with valuable information. God created us as multidimensional beings. We are physical, spiritual, and emotional beings. And God wants shalom for us, what we've talked about in this series, for us to be whole, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. If, however, we view our emotions as irrelevant, like ignoring the gauges and lights on a dashboard, when we ignore these indicators, we can miss the chance to grow in maturity and Christlikeness, we miss that chance for wholeness. There was a woman by the name of Lisa Murray who shared this. She said, "Just because I was raised in the church and was a passionate follower of Christ, that didn't mean I was whole on the inside. The truth was, I was an emotional wreck. I was demanding and critical of myself. I was obsessed with winning others' approval. I was terrified of rejection. I had a hard time listening to criticism. I felt it impossible to say no to others' demands. I could never speak my thoughts and feelings, and I did my very best to avoid any conflict that came my way. So for many years, I sat in church and listened to amazing sermons by profoundly gifted pastors." That wasn't me that she was listening to. "Yet somewhere in the deepest shadows of me, what I could believe for so many others, I could not believe for myself. Other people could be whole, but that must not be for me. No amount of study, prayer, or faith ever seemed to glue together what was terribly broken inside. My healing came in an altogether different way. God's greatest gift to me was the gift of emotional healing. He brought me to a place where my emotional wounds could be safely exposed, understood, healed. My emotional healing did not detract from my faith. My emotional healing increased my faith." According to a study by Rosalind Rebez, there is a significant correlation between emotional health and spiritual maturity. It appears that the more healthy we become emotionally, the more healthy and mature we become spiritually. As we look at this topic of emotional health, I want us to consider two biblical characters, those of King Saul and King David. Saul is an example for us of an emotionally unhealthy person. On the surface, he looked great. He was tall, athletic. He had this commanding personal appearance. And as you read, you know, you see him times of praying, giving prophetic words, of sacrificing. And if you could put it in today's terms, it would be, he's like this charismatic leader, going to church, worshiping, serving. But underneath, he was very concerned about the approval of others. He was insecure and jealous. 1 Samuel 15 describes this for us. The text says that he feared the people more than God. He listened to their voice and he gave in to them, rather than the following the commands that God had given him. In verse 24, after Samuel confronts him, we read, "Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them.'" After disobeying God, he says, and God's directive, he says, "Okay, I'm sorry." But he doesn't want anyone else to know what he's done, how he has sinned. So he asks Samuel to go back with him so that he doesn't look bad in front of the people. Saul pleads with Samuel, saying, "I know I've sinned, but please, at least honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel by coming back with me." Saul's fear of others and his jealousy dominated his life. He didn't want others to be more popular. And we see in his dealings with David how this jealousy consumed him. He was envious, blaming, full of anger. Saul did not take the time to reflect. He was not willing to take an honest look at his actions and his feelings. He was unaware of all that was going on inside him. He doesn't pay attention to those red flashing lights. And as a result, he spirals down. So by the end, he has lost control. An example of someone in Scripture who was reflective and aware is King David. After David slept with Bathsheba and killed her husband Uriah, he didn't cover up and tried to hide what he had done. Psalm 51 that was read, he expresses his sin. In verse 3 he says, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." He goes on in verse 6 to say, "You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. And then in verse 10, which we repeated when we prayed this morning, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. How different than Saul. David here acknowledges his sin, taking an honest look at himself, asking for God's cleansing, for God's renewal. King David wrote many of the Psalms that we have. And in them, we read of his reflections and his emotions that he has and focusing on what he's done, expressing things like anger, discouragement. He was aware of his feelings, pouring them out before God, praying and wrestling with them. He was honest. Yes, he was not perfect, but he was willing to face his shortcomings. Very different than Saul. You don't see Saul taking time to reflect, acknowledging where he has fallen short, and looking at his motives. I think, unfortunately, a lot of us can probably relate more to Saul than David, if we are truthful. You know, those times of feeling ashamed over those things that we've done, trying to cover up our thoughts and our actions, doing things like giving in to others, going along with the crowd, feeling jealous, angry, hurt. And instead of acknowledging those red flashing lights of these emotions, we push them away, pretending, nothing's wrong. We can often turn a deaf ear to our emotions through denial, distortion, or disengagement. Allender and Longman comment, we strain out anything disturbing in order to gain tenuous control of our inner world. We are frightened and ashamed of what leaks into our consciousness. In neglecting our intense emotions, we are false to ourselves and lose a wonderful opportunity to know God. We forget that change comes through brutal honesty and vulnerability before God. If we ignore those emotional aspects of our lives, not reflecting and not bringing these things to God, we can never experience the peace that He desires for us. We can come to church, smile, sing, celebrate, and then yet walk out of here and go through the rest of the week feeling depressed, anxious, lost. Jesus doesn't ask us to fix ourselves up before coming to Him. He calls the brokenhearted, the sick, the downtrodden. He invites us to bring our bruised and troubled selves, to experience a fellowship of compassion, grace, healing. As David poured out his heart, he knew that what God wanted was a broken and contrite heart, and that he would not be rejected, but that he would be cleansed and he would be made whole. But for this to happen, David knew that what he needed to do was to have this honest look and reflection. When we don't take the time to be reflective and aware, we miss understanding and seeing the truth and miss a deep relationship with God. We have to be bold and honest with ourselves about what we are feeling. The issue is not to blindly follow our feelings or, you know, wallow in self-pity. That doesn't get us anywhere. It means acknowledging, how is it that I am feeling deep down? And seeing then how God can communicate to us through those feelings. And then seeking His healing and listening to His guidance. It's so easy, I think, to react to situations and to people out of a place of woundedness rather than a place of real understanding. You know, have you ever found yourself feeling rejected because maybe what somebody didn't say or did say, or feeling hurt by something that someone did? We need to acknowledge those feelings, honestly looking at them and asking, okay, what are they trying to tell us? The other night as I left a meeting, I had an unsettled feeling. And I could have shoved that feeling aside and just gone home, watched some TV, you know, not processed what the light that was flashing on the dashboard at me. And at many times, that is what I would have done. I grew up in a family where it was really not acceptable to have any negative emotions, especially difficult ones like anger, fear, or grief. The problem with squelching or denying our feelings is that, you know, when we push them aside, well, they come out in some other ways. Or we can seek ways to cover up the pain that we're feeling with unhealthy things like binge-watching TV or overeating, sex, shopping, medications, overworking, and the list can go on. Well, that night, I did stop. I looked at the feeling, and the issue was I felt like I hadn't been heard. And then I realized the feeling under that was questioning my value and my worth. Am I valued? Yes. God affirms that over and over to all of us in His Word. So where did this feeling come from? As I prayed and I processed this, I realized, well, there were times growing up when what I had to say didn't matter. Where my response, especially if it was a no, was not respected. By processing what I was feeling that evening, bringing it to God, looking and coming at this with a sense of integrity, I was able to move forward. Well, maybe at that meeting, yes, I wasn't heard. But in pausing and reflecting on my feelings, I didn't deny or try to cover up what was there. And through bringing it into the light and understanding where this was coming from, I didn't buy into a lie that I'm not valuable. A lie that then could have impacted other areas of my life had I not realized it. Hurts from our past need to be acknowledged. We need to face difficult things, asking, okay, what are my unresolved emotional and interpersonal issues? What has transpired in my life that is affecting me today? As we honestly confront these things and bring them to God, healing can occur. If we keep pushing feelings away, whether it's subconsciously or even purposefully, we miss the opportunity to grow and make a choice of what we want to do about our feelings. When we don't pay attention to those red light indicators, we can be blind with what we are doing. Like Saul, we can make decisions based on things like a desire for approval and acceptance rather than God-directed decisions. Reacting maybe in negative ways, believing lies. Well, how then do we do this? We begin by being vulnerable, open, and owning our stories. The tools that we need are courage, compassion, and connection. So first, this is a journey that requires courage. It is not easy to look at and work through those issues of our past. Opening up and sharing our stories can be very painful. But when we are courageous and risk telling our stories, the pain and the shame dissipate. I am so impressed by King David. You know, here he is king, and he's willing to admit where he's fallen short. It's so difficult to admit our sin. We often worry, well, will people love me, accept me, if they know the struggles that I have in my life? Pete Cesaro, the author of the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, commented, "Reflecting was painful. I didn't want to reflect because I felt guilty. I did not know how to process one's thoughts and feelings in a healthy way. It was easier to deny them than to be conflicted with guilt. Who wants a life of guilt? So I won't go there. I just ignore it and press on." It takes courage and practice to tune into our feelings and name them, but it is worth the effort. Serious, honest work has to be done to understand and receive God's healing in those areas of brokenness so that we don't react out of woundedness. But getting to those deeper core issues of life, then transformation in Christ can occur. A second component we need is connection, a place to be heard, cared for, and valued. We need to find safe people, a friend, a small group. Like Jackie was saying, the value of being in that group together. Find a good therapist, a coach, someone you trust with whom you can be honest and share those deep things in your heart. People that can assist you in understanding the way that you perceive and are dealing with the struggles around you and will help guide you to that place of wholeness. Here at Olivet, we are blessed to have 9 Stephen ministers. These are people here in our congregation who have been trained to provide a safe place to share struggles and to be able to give support. And if you're interested in connecting with one of these individuals, please let us know, because they're very keen to be able to walk alongside and offer your help. The third element that we need as we seek to bring our stories to light is compassion. Knowing God's compassion through reading His Word, through communicating with Him, listening to Him, as we talked about. And it's being compassionate to ourselves and being compassionate to one another. If we don't believe that we are worthy of God's love, that we are His cherished child, then we won't have the courage to share our stories, being known for who we really are. We don't trust others. We won't open up to them. So we need to know God's compassion. I was blessed to have a pastoral coach for a couple of years. And one of the things that he encouraged me to do at the start of my devotional times was, on a scale of 1 to 10, to write down how I was feeling and then note 2 specific emotions. Well, I found this very enlightening and helpful to do. Integrating emotional health with Christian spirituality impacts every area of our life. And what I'm discovering is that as I recognize my feelings, I can then process them with God. By staying in tune with our emotions, we open ourselves up to God's Spirit, where He can teach us lessons that we need to learn. When we acknowledge our feelings, we accept that our heart is trying to tell us something, that there is something that we can learn about ourselves, that then through the light of God's grace, we can receive healing and deal with those various issues that come our way in a healthy, constructive manner. God can bring healing to our inner being, growing us in faith, freeing us, making us whole. God's word's not just about cognitive knowledge. Emotions are all over the Bible. God is there in the pain, the celebration, the loss, and the abundance. And when we don't stop to check in and see how it is that we're feeling, we can miss out on what God may want to teach and reveal to us. He may have a word to help us through, to work through our questions, our struggles, our heartaches. So I encourage you, take the time to ask, what am I feeling? Name it. Confess it if it's necessary. And ask God to give you discernment, healing, and guidance. As hopefully we pay attention to those flashing red lights on the dashboard of our cars, I pray that we would pay attention to our emotions in order to experience that shalom, the wholeness, that we would grow into Christ-likeness. We pray. And as we pause to pray this morning, I would like you just to pray. Pause and ask, okay, Lord, what am I feeling right in this moment? Maybe it's contentment, maybe it's some anxiety, whatever it is, look at it. Is there something that you need to bring to the Lord and confess? Is this coming from a hurt in your past that you need to pray and ask God to heal? Or is this alerting you to something that you need to do? So take time to pray and listen. And while you do so, the worship team will just play instrumentally through the first verse of the song, and then we'll stand and sing together. So come to the Lord.